So far we're safe. Last week we learned all the Gemaras about Gaiva, about Balagasi Haruach. We learned till about 15 lines from the top of Hey Omid Beis. So now the Gemara is commenting on the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses. Right, so going back to the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph, so on the fourth line into the Mishnah it says, Ketzed Mekanelo. How exactly? You have Kinui and you have Stira. Kinui means Hastra. The husband wants his wife. I think there's something fishy going on over here. I'm choshed that you're having an affair with Pliny. Al Tistri and Mish Pliny. And then Stira means that they have the Yuchat together. So the Mishnah says, Ketzed Mekanelo. Exactly how do you do Kinui? So it says, Omer lo b'fnei shnayim, the husband has to warn his wife in the presence of two kosher eidim, al tadabri imish pliny. That's what kinui is. Al tadabri imish pliny. Don't talk with so and so. V'dibra imoy, if he warns her, al tadabri, v'dibra imoy, she talks with him, adayin him with teres lebeisa, she's still permitted to remain with her husband. Beisa is the marriage. Marriage is still intact. And if the husband is a kohen, eshes kohen achel is betruma. She still eats truma. If you have an eshes kohen who is mezana tachas vaylo, then she's not allowed to eat truma. A zayna is not allowed to eat truma. So if he warned her out to dabri imrish pani the dibra, and she violated his instructions, she did speak to Pliny, so she doesn't become a soita. Adayin him ateres lebeisa, she's still allowed to remain with the husband. Umateres lechle, such a jealous husband, he doesn't want his wife to talk to any strangers, that doesn't asa. But what if he, it sounds like in the Mishnah, what if he warned her, al tadabri, don't speak with Pliny, if he warns her, al tadabri, and then she does stira, then she becomes asur al baila. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, is that true? Here, that's in the middle, towards the middle of Hey Amid Beis. Ketzed Mekanelo v'chulei. So the Gemara refrek takasha, Hagufa kasha, this Mishnah seems to be self-contradictory. Amrit first, he said, Omalo b'fnei shnayim al tadabri mishpleini. Don't talk with the person. Alma dibur, stiri, you see that the word ledaber, the warning has to be, don't be misyached with pleini. So it sounds from the Mishnah, al tadabri, the word dibur means stira, al tistiri. Diba means talk, it doesn't mean to have stira. So there's a contradiction in the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, yeah, there's something missing in the Mishnah. A few words missing. This is what it means in the Mishnah. If he wants her out to dabri v'dibra, if he wants his wife, don't, I'm a jealous husband, I don't want you to talk with any, with that person, v'dibra, she talks with him, even though she violated the husband's instructions, nishken soita. Or he says, al tadabri, don't talk with him, and then vinistra, and she has stira, she has yichud with him, still materis lebeisa, umateris lecha betrum. Because he never warned her, that's not called a kinui. Kinui means he has to warn her al tistri. But what if he warned her, nishken lebeisa, sev shasa, k'day tum asura lebeisa, osa lecha betrum. If he warned her al tistri, so then she becomes asura.
Why did it say
chisur mechzer?
Why did
they
use that?
I don't know. Should have said chisur mechzer. Yeah, I don't know. The quote from the Vilna Gaon, whenever it says chisur mechzer of hachi katani, it doesn't mean that there are really words missing in the Mishnah. It means that the Tanoim lived at the time that it was still prohibited to write down Torah Shebal Peh. So they wrote it down because they slas l'Hashem efer teresecho. So they would write it down b'tzimtzum, just to the extent, a lot of them would write down. Sometimes you have a Mishnah that's so elaborate, and it's so, some of the extra words, we don't understand why the Mishnah wrote so much. But many times you have a Mishnah that's written so b'kitza nimrats, that a lot of phrases are self-understood. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that's what it means, that chisure mechzura v'hachi katani means that not that it's missing, the words in the Mishnah are missing, but it's missing in the understanding. It's self-understood that that's what the Mishnah is driving at. Here also it's like that, but they should have written Chisur Mechsor v'Hachi Katani.
What Abai says, does it mean that he figured
it
out himself, or he has a Kabbalah like that?
I don't know. But that's what Abai said. That's what we assume all along. We don't think that anybody disagrees. We seem to assume that that's the pshat. When we started the Masechta, we learned there are two kinds. There's a Saita Vada and there's a Saita Sofi. These are the expressions that the Gemara uses in Yevamah's Daf Yudav. Saita Vada means that an Eishes Ish is Vada is Imsa with someone else. That's Asura Baila. She has to get divorced. And a Saita Sofi is, it could be that she's totally innocent. Could be the husband is paranoid, I'm a Shugana, and he warned his wife for no good reason. Very often the husband is paranoid. He warns his wife, he's chayshid that she's having an affair with Pliny. If he's just chayshid that she's hugging him and kissing him and talking with him and playing tennis with him, that does nasa. Only if he's chayshid her business. And he warns her, altistri mish Pliny, v'nistra ima, so that's called kinyastira. So that's a din of a saita safik. So what's the din of saita safik? Husband has to bring the wife to the Beis HaMikdash, and if and when she drinks the Mayim Amarim and she doesn't die, and she doesn't, the Mishnah is going to say later, aschus taylabo. Sometimes if she has different schusim, so she's not going to die right away, she'll live on another couple of years, but her face will change colors, and she'll look sickly. So then it's a simit that she was mizane, because the Mayim Amarim is not poisonous. You just mix in a little sand. You don't put in any poison there. There's no reason. You're erasing the ink on the Megillah site. Megillah site is a piece of parchment, and you write the parsha that appears in the Chumash, and then you erase it. Mochalam, so you have ink mixed in with plain water, mixed in with a little sand. It doesn't taste too good, but it's not poison. There's no reason she should get sick because of that. So if it looks that she's seriously getting sick, then she's Asura Baila. If she looks perfectly healthy after she finished his drink, the Mayim Amarim, so the Torah says you can rely on this miracle test. This is the one and only place, Rabbi Hirsch points out, one and only place where the Torah promises a miracle, and you can rely on that for the Bir Psak Aloch. No, it has to be a specific. It has to be specific. Ish plain.
Is also to a husband that she looks sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, she's a psychic.
Yeah, yeah. She was asa to the husband before she drinks.
Right.
See, if she drinks and she passes with flying colors, then everything
so
is off. And if she looks sick, then Teiknish said, then she remains asura baila. Then she remains asura baila.
But you look at the period of time and then.
Yeah, that's 6 months later.
Yeah, right.
No. It has to be sooner, right after. The Mishnah's going to talk. If right away she starts changing colors, so then we assume that she's guilty.
So
she'll live another couple of years, 2-3 years, but she still looks sick right away.
Oh, right away she looks sick.
Yeah.
They're doing now Mayim Amarim
now? No. Only Bizman Shebeis Amigdush HaYikayim. You have to have the Sanhedrin. Right, you have to have the Sanhedrin also. Theoretically, it should have stopped 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. So 40 years before, in the year 30, the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile. They left the Lishkas Agozes. They left their office, and the Gemara seems to say they no longer have a din of Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah says that part of the ceremony of the Saita is that the Sanhedrin, she has to meet with the Sanhedrin, and they have to warn her how terrible it is to be Mizane, and she's going to die if it's not poisonous. If she's innocent, there's nothing to worry about. But if she's guilty, she's going to die, and she shouldn't think she's going to get away with it. So that it should have been theoretically that 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Mayim HaMarim should have been terminated. It should have stopped already. And Gemara says not so. Gemara says it was stopped in the middle of those last 40 years. So that's a kasha that Tosis is going to bring up. Tosis discusses it later. So what are the dinim of a Saita Vada? Yeah?
We probably mentioned this before, I just don't remember it. If a husband warns his wife, is she allowed to seclude herself? Like, she's not doing anything bad. She's just, doing homework with some other with the guy. Is she allowed to do that?
There's a din of yichud, and Eishes Ish is not permitted to have yichud with anyone else other than a husband. But if it's Baila Ba'ir, if the husband is in the same city, then there's no way to yichud. Or let's say the husband is choshed that the girl, that his wife is having an affair with her father or with her brother. So strictly speaking, you're permitted to have yichud with your father, with your brother, but nonetheless, if the husband warned her, even though there's no Issa Yichud, because Baila Ba'ira, because the father or the brother, so that's Kina Estira, it asks al Baila. Even though she didn't violate an Aveira of Yichud, Yichud and Stira are not the same. We said, Ben Lahakal, Ben Lahachmer. Even though there's no violation of Yichud, because Baila Ba'ir, because it's a brother or her father, but if the husband warned her, it's called Stira. And on the other hand, Yichud is in violation. Let's say we have an office, men and women, 150 men, 50 women, and everybody's working all day long, there's no Yichud, an office full of people. And slowly everybody leaves, one by one they leave. So then it comes out, at 7 o'clock at night, 98 people left, and there's a man and a woman left in the place. So, and the husband doesn't live in the city. There's no Baila Ba'ir, the husband lives somewhere else. So they are in violation of Yichud, but that's not called Stira. It's only called Stira if they nichnasu biyachad into the room together. If there were 100 people and everybody left one by one and the two remain, there's an Isser Yichud, but that's not called Stira to Aser.
So by Chana, when was it Gemara or somewhere, it says that she tried, she was going to trick.
She threatened the Rabbani Shalom.
But how could she do it? If she is not allowed to eat, meaning if it played out according to her logic and her husband would have warned her, so from that point on, she is not allowed to seclude herself with anybody.
Baila Ba'ir. So there's no violation of the Issa Yichud, but it would still be considered Stira.
Right, so Stira. So there would still be a violation of Stira.
It's not a violation. She knows she's innocent. She didn't do anything wrong. And there's no violation of Yichud. Yichud is an Issa. Stira is a din. If you have kin and Stira, the woman becomes Asur al-Baila. Just because the husband warned her, I don't want you to be Messiah. So what? So Hatagazak. He's not God. The Rabbanu Shalom gives the din. So Rabbanu Shalom said there's an Issa Yichud. Rabbanu Shalom didn't say there's an Issa Stira.
Okay. So that's my question. So the woman knows she's not doing anything improper. She's
right.
Perfectly allowed to.
Right. But even though she knows that she absolutely did nothing improper, if there was Kini or Stira, she is Asura al Baila. Even though she knows she didn't do anything wrong, that's the Issa.
The chef, the father did avere to do this, to have a relation with this daughter, no?
He's not allowed to have relations with the daughter, but he's allowed to be together with his daughter. Not doing anything.
No.
There's no Issa Yichud between a father and a daughter. So let's say the husband warns his wife she shouldn't be together with her father because the husband is paranoid. He's a meshugana. He thinks she's having an affair.
She lives in the house.
So there's no... Right, she's not forbidden to be with the father. She's allowed to be, but nonetheless, it asks al baila. If the husband is a meshugana, he warns the wife in front of two eidim, I don't want you to be alone with your father because I'm chayshed you. And then she is alone because she knows the din is that it's mutter. There's no isa yichud. They don't do anything wrong. So the dinner says she's not allowed to be with her husband now. She just became Asur al-Baila.
Question from the husband.
Yeah, because the husband warned her, so she becomes Asur al-Baila.
What happens if Besdin confronts her and she's Maida? So then what happens?
That's the next mission. So she doesn't drink the Maim Amarim, goodbye and good luck, and she loses her Ksuba. Every woman who gets divorced is entitled to Ksuba unless he can ascertain, let's say they just... The marriage just didn't work out. Not his fault, not her fault. No one's fault. So she still gets the ksuba. Unless he can ascertain that it was her fault. So if she admits that she had an affair, so she's asur al baila. So they have to get divorced. He's not allowed to remain with the wife. She's a saita vadai. And she loses the ksuba. That's all.
She doesn't get any punishment?
He can't punish a person based on his own haidua's baldin. Haidua's baldin is only a mumminess. Even a knas, you don't rely on her does about
it. She loses her ksuba, she has to leave.
That's it. That's the Mishnah is coming up, is going to say like that. Yeah. So what's the din? So the Pasuk says, if the wife had kinu istira, so it says three times the verb vinitma or vinitma, vinitma. Doesn't say three times in a row. And a couple of, if you add together all the psukim, it says three times. So the Mishnah says later, why does it say three times vinitma? Minitma means, the first time means Asur al-Baila. She has to get divorced from the husband unless she'll drink the Maim Amarim, and then she will be healthy, so then she's allowed to go back to the husband. So the second time Minitma means, and if she gets divorced from the husband, she's not allowed to marry the Boel. Even though we don't know Bevadai, We don't know bevadai that she had an affair. And let's say he swears on a Bible and she swears on a Sefer Torah that they didn't do anything wrong, but there was kinu estira. So that asas lebal and asas leboil. And what does it say? The third time in itma, asas letruma. That if she's married to a Kohen, so normally eshes koinachel is betruma, but if the woman became a zayna, she was mezana tachas bailu, she's asura lechel betruma. So that's the Mishnah. If you have the first Mishnah, Beisa Manal, if you have Kino, Yastire, the din is Asur Lebeisa, Asur Lechol Betruma, then the last line in the Mishnah is the next discussion in the Gemara. The last line in the opening Mishnah says, Vimeis, and if the husband dies, before they had a chance to go to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mayim HaMarim. So what's the din? So let's say the husband dies and there are no children. So normally the woman would require either Yibum or Chalitza. Either Yibum or Chalitza. So the Mishnah says, Choletzes v'lomus yabemes. She needs Chalitza, but she's not permitted to have Yibum with the husband's brother. So the Gemara asks, why not? The din is that a Neshes Isha Zinsa, they run it twice, when it says three times in Itma. The first time in Itma means Asur al Baila. The second time in Itma means Asur al Abayo. The third time in Itma doesn't say she's Asura al, the brother of the Baal. There's no Pasuk. Third time goes on Truma.
Standing in place of the husband.
Oh, so that's what the Gemara is going to work on. How do you know that that's this? How do you know that that's so? So that's what the Mishnah says. V'meis, if the husband dies, if she drank the Mayim HaMarim and she passes with flying colors, so, and then the husband dies, of course it's going to be Yibum Machalitza, regular, normal. But if the husband died before she drinks the Mayim HaMarim, so the Mishnah says, Choletzes v'lo misyabem, she's not permitted to have Yibum, but she does require Chalitza. So the Gemara asks a question, why? Freg the Gemara, that's the last 10 lines on Hey Amid Beis. Freg the Gemara, Amai, why does the Mishnah say, Eina misyabemes? Freg the Gemara, Tisyabim nami yibume, the din is that a saita is asur ala baal, basur ala bayal, which is not also on the husband's brother. Why should she be also to the husband's brother? So Rav Yosef gives an answer. And Abai was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and Abai was always spoke up in class, apparently. He always used to dingzach with his Rebbe. So the Gemara has three versions of what they knew. They had a tradition. Rav Yosef gave a mocha for the din, and Abai it's a gedungin in the Shia. But the three versions of what Rav Yosef said, so there are going to be three versions of what Abai argued with him. So one at a time. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Kro, it's based on a pasuk. The din in the Mishnah is based on a pasuk. It says in Chumash, a different parsha in the Chumash. It says when a couple is married, Umotza ba ervas dovar, and the husband had to divorce his wife because he discovers that she was mezana. And then it says, because of a sefer priest of a shulchan mebeso, he writes her a get to get divorced. The yotzim mebeso, v'holcha v'hoysel v'yishacher, she goes, she's allowed to marry someone else. The husband gives his wife a get, she's allowed to marry someone else. So the pasuk uses the expression le'ish acher. What does it have the connotation? Le'ish acher below le'yovim. The word acher in bein, the Tanoim understood that they're opposites from each other. If it says bein, it doesn't apply to a stranger. And if it says acher, take for example, I remember years ago, I don't know why, I was a little boy, before Bar Mitzvah and soon after Bar Mitzvah, Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Yahrzeit drasha. He used to give a 4-hour drasha. He used to give 2 hours halach and 2 hours agod. So for a couple of years in a row, he used to talk about Elisha ben Avuya, about the Tana who was known as Acher. He was Yahrzeit the Tarbis Ro. So I remember one line, I don't remember the rest of the drasha, I remember just one line from one of the drashas that he said, Elisha ben Avuya heard the baskol came out from heaven and said, Shuvu barim shavavim levad me Acher. Everyone can do tshuva except for Acher. So he knew that he couldn't do any tshuva. So I seem to remember, it was it may have been before my bar mitzvah, so I think he said, the baskol never said chutz me Acher. The baskol said tshuva bonim shavavim. Acher given atane. So Acher understood. Whenever it says bonim, it means bein v'loy Acher. Whenever it says Acher, it means Acher v'loy bein. So here it said, the baskol said, the pasuk and nabi, shuvu bonim shavavim hatalein fashtanin bonim v'loy Acher. And then he decided about himself that I am Acher. This was all his decision. The baskol never said we won't accept shuvah from Elisha ben Avuya. The baskol said shuvah banim. He understood, but one who's so far away from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, he doesn't deserve to be called a bein. he's in the category of Achen, Hotteget Paskin, Tavzich Alein, that he's so far away, he's an Achen. The whole thing was a mistake. He should have done Shuvah. He was still a Bein. He wasn't an Achen. They called him Achen, but he wasn't an Achen when he got to that. Or there's a Pasik. There's a din, Habein Mamitz De Achuza La Oviv. The din is that if a person is Magdish, there's a Steachuza and there's a Ste Mikne. Steachuza means in Eretz Yisrael. Steachuza means I own a farm in Eretz Yisrael, that I got Birusha from my father, he got it from his father, all the way back to Yeshua Ben Nun. So there's special din for Steachuza. Then it's Ste Mikne, I bought a field from someone else in Eretz Yisrael. When it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it's going to go back to the original owner. So there's a din of Chumash. Let's say I bought a field from someone else in Eretz Yisrael and I magdish it. I donate it to Hegdish. I only own the field until Yovel. When it comes Yovel, it doesn't belong to me. So when I magdish it, Hegdish has no right to keep it Leon of what? I can't keep the Hegdish more than I myself have. So the Hegdish can auction it off to the highest bidder. But then when it comes Yovel, you have to give it back to the original owner. I don't push it like that.
So the Chubb. Because he doesn't have the.
I'm Magdish, but I own. So I own the field. That's it. So I can only be Magdish. I only own it for the next 5 years. So I'm Magdish it for the next 5 years. What if I own a stay Achuza? It's mine, Lioil and Void. When it comes Yovel, it's not going to go back to anybody. I'm the one who got to be Yerusha. So then if I'm Magdish it, Hegdish can keep it, Lioil and Void. So then it says in the Chumash, the Gizbah should auction it off to the highest bidder. If I didn't buy it back, it says in the end of Chumash Vayikra, the end of B'chul Kaisa, if I bought it back from Hegdish, a lot of times people are Magdish it, then they buy it back. They wanted to give the value of the real estate to Hegdish. Fine. He's Maisiv Chaimish. If the same person who is Magdish it buys it back from Hegdish, if the Baila Ma'paita, then Maisiv Chaimish. So it says in the Chumash, what if the one who in Magdash it did not redeem it, he did not buy it back. And the Gizbo went and he sold it to a stranger. It says Leish Acher. Then it says, it goes to Hegdish and the Kohanim get it and they keep it. So the Gemara has a diuk and Erech in the Gemara. And Kiddush in the Gemara talks about it. Only if the Gizbo sold it to a stranger, Leish Acher. Acher below the Bain. Bain and Acher are opposites. What if the Gizbe sold the field to my son? So then the Gemara says, when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it goes back to me. Even though when I was Magdish, it belonged to me, Leolam Void. So when I'm Magdish, I should be giving it to Hegdish, Leolam Void. So I shouldn't get it back after Yovel. And my son bought it from the Gizbe. By the son, it should be a stay Mikne. Shouldn't be a stay Achuza. So it should go back to Yovel to Hegdish, they should keep it. So the Pasuk says now, that's called Habein Mamid Sodeh La'oviv. When the Bain is paida from the Gizbar, from the Hegdish, so then it does go back. So that din was established based on the word Le'ish Acher V'loy Le'Bain. Whenever it says Bain, it means Acher is not included. Like Shuvah Badim Shavavim Levad Me Acher. Whenever it says Le'ish Acher, it means La'Acher V'loy Le'Bain. So here it says in the Chumash, a couple had a bad marriage. The husband ascertains that the wife had an affair with someone else. Motzibah Ervas Dover, he's established based on Shnei Edim. Dover Dover Mimamin, it says, Alpishnaim Edim, Alpishnei Edim Yokum Dover. You need two Edim to ascertain a Mamanis. So there's Exereshava Dover Dover Mimamin. So it says, Ki Motzibah Ervas Dover, husband ascertained based on two witnesses, his wife was Mizana. So he had a divorcer. So it says, V'yotzim Ibeisa Behocha Behoisa Le'ish Acher. So why does it say Le'ish Acher? So it means La'acher Veloy Le'bein. She's allowed to marry anybody else, but she's not allowed to marry the husband's son. Of course, not allowed to marry the husband's son. It's either her son or it's Eishes Aviv. So you can't say la'acher v'lo lebein. So then closest acher means to the exclusion of some close relative. So I say la'acher v'lo le'yavam. He's the closest relative we can exclude. So the Gemara says we're kicking out la'acher v'lo le'yavam. She's not allowed to marry. She's not allowed to marry the yavam. Yeah. In the context of the Rashi adds on, in the context of the pasuk talks about a man who's married and his wife had an affair and he had a divorce. He gives her a get, so of course she can't marry his brother. It's Eishes Sachiv. If my brother gets divorced, if my brother dies, I'm not allowed to marry his wife either, unless she has no children Eishes Sacha b'makam mitzvah. If my brother dies and he has children, I'm not allowed to marry his wife. My brother divorces his wife or he dies and he has children, it's an Issa Kares. It's one of the Arais. Eishes Sacha b'shalom b'makam mitzvah. So what do you mean the Pasuk says the husband divorced his wife? So she's not allowed to marry the brother of the husband. Of course she's not allowed to marry the brother. That's a davar pashut. So Rashi explains, the pasuk, strictly speaking, in the context of the pasuk, of course she's not allowed to marry the brother. Pasuk means, even if it would have been a different case, and the husband would die, she's still not allowed to marry the brother. The husband, that's the mocker that there's no yibum. That's the pasuk that there's no yibum. So this was the first version. There are three versions of what Rabbi Yosef said over here to try to explain the makkah for the Mishnah. So the first version was, it's based on Gzeres HaKosav, B'halcha L'Hoysa L'Shacher, which is not really talking about Yibum, it's talking about a man divorcing his wife. So it's really a stretch of a drasha. So Rashi has to fill in a lot of missing words in the pasuk over here. So it's La'acher B'Lo'Liyov. Amalei Abai, Abai was a student of Rabbi Yosef, and he starts Dig Dingzach. Ela Me'ata, if that's what the pasuk is telling me, that she can't marry the Yavam, we often have a rule, it's not 100% ironclad rule, we have a rule, Kol She'en Oyla Libum, Ein Oyla L'Chalitza. If a man dies, let's say, a man marries his niece, a man marries his brother's daughter, an uncle is allowed to marry a niece, an aunt is not allowed to marry a nephew. Apostle and Chumash, Fafal. The nephew and the aunt, that's an Issa Kares, that's an Issa Arayas, and the uncle with the niece are permitted to marry. In fact, the Teza of the Gemara was a common practice, it was considered a mitzvah to marry Bas HaChoyse, to marry your sister's daughter. I don't know why. In this case, we're talking a brother's daughter, but the Gemara talks about Bas HaChoyse to marry my sister's daughter. Same thing, a niece, an uncle to marry a niece. So, what if they're two brothers, difference of age, let's say 20 years difference, and one of the two brothers marries his niece, and then he dies, and his surviving brother is the same age as I can't be the same
father.
Age. He's the father, yeah. Yeah, Faket, yeah. So, right. So let's say my daughter, let's say I'm the older brother. So my daughter, let's say, is 20 years old, and I have a brother who's 20 years old. So they get married to each other. My daughter marries my brother. Then the brother dies, leaving no children. So is there a mitzvah of yibum that I should be miyabim my own daughter? So the Gemara says it's an isur kares. We learn that from the psukim. We don't say esedoch alaisesi. Ein esedoch alaisesi sheyesh b'kares. That's out of the question. So you can't have yibum. So let's require chalitza. Let's require chalitza. So the Gemara learns that from psukim. That's the first mishnah in Yevamos. Kol she'ein oyla liyibum, ein oyla lachalitza. Since there's no yibum, you can't have chalitza either. There are many cases where you do have, even though you don't have yibum, you do have chalitza. There are many cases. So many cases are only made the rabbanim. Let's say, for example, my brother married a mamzeres. Or beheter, let's say, I have the same father as my brother, but we had a different mother. So because my father married that woman and he had that son, that child is a mamzer. My father had a child from an Eishes Ish. So that child is a mamzer. And I'm not a mamzer, let's say. I'm a kosher. So my brother is a mamzer, married a mamzeres. Okay, what can you do? And then the brother dies. So his wife is a mamzeres. So would there be a din of yibum? So the Mishnah says you don't have yibum, but you do need chalitza. So Gemara says, why do you need chalitza? What happened to the rule? Kol she'en ol yibum en ol chalitza. Whenever there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. Gemara says, min haTorah there is yibum. Min haTorah there is yibum because esed d'chaloi sesei. If it's my own daughter, if my brother married my daughter, and my daughter with me is an Issa Kares, a father with a daughter is an Issa Kares, so you can't say esed d'chaloi sesei. The rule is, that's the first sugi in Yavamas, goes on and on and on, 5, 6 dafim. Ein esed d'chaloi sesei sheyesh b'koris. So for sure there's no yibum in HaTorah over there. So because there's no yibum, you don't even need any chalitza either. But over here, where my brother dies and his wife is a mamzeres and I'm a kosher, min HaTorah there is yibum. But we would only say esed d'chaloi sesei and the birishayna, and then I would have to give her a get. So they made Gzera Derabban, Gzera Birishina, Otto Birishnia. We don't even allow him to perform the Ibum by the Birishina. We're afraid he'll have a Birishnia, and then there's no longer a Heta. The mitzvah of Yibam Yavale is only fulfilled at the moment of the Birishina. So since Menater there is Yibum, so of course it's going to be Chalitza. She is Oilele Yibum Menater, it's only with the Rabban. The Gemara has, however, a case where she's Ein Oilele Yibum Menater. Let's say I am a Kohen Gadol. And my brother dies and he leaves an almana, and a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, and she's a ba'ula. Also, she was living with my brother for many years. Everything is okay. I'm a Kohen Gadol, my brother was a Kohen, married to a nice kosher girl, and he dies, and he leaves no children. So would you have Yibum min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, you can't have Yibum min HaTorah because Ein Esed Dechal Oisese V'Yesed. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. There's a lav, almana lo yikach, and then there's an esek ki im besula miyam av yikach isha. He's only allowed to marry a besula. So the Gemara says min haTorah midereise. The Kohen Gadol is not permitted to perform yibum on the almana on the yavama because esek dechal esek doesn't apply. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that you have to have chalitza. So some Rishonim say the need for chalitza there is only midirabana. But most say not so. Most say no, the need for chalitza is menater. So what happened to the rule? Kol she'en oda li'ibum, en oda l'chalitza. So most of the Rishonim say it does mean that. Kol she'en oda li'ibum, en oda l'chalitza means like this. If my brother married my daughter, and the brother dies, and that is a shaila, when my brother dies, we call it zika. The relationship between the surviving brother, we call the yavam. And the almana, that's called the yavama, the yavam, the yavama. It's like an issues between the two. It's not a real issues. He didn't give her a ring and say Hariat Mekudesh. My brother died. So the Torah declares that there's a zika. Zika means a shayochas, a relationship between me and the almana. Isha hikten lo min hashamayim. Min hashamayim, the heaven declared that there's a partial marriage. If the girl is going to be mezana, it says in Chumash, "Lesi eishes hamesh li shacher yivama yavale." She's not allowed to marry anyone else. What if she does? She goes and she does marry someone else. You say she's an eishes ish and she's chayiv misa. No, it's a lav. That's all. She gets malchus. There's no kares. It's an iser. So zika is a mikzas ishes. So the din is that if I give a ring to my daughter, I say hariyah mukadeshesli en kiddushin tovsin. So if you're dealing with the case of arayas, my brother died, and his almana is an erva to me. So the din is en kiddushin tofsin by rais. Not only en kiddushin tofsin, if I give a ring and I say hariat mekudeshes, he can't have zika either. That's what you learn out from the pasuk. There's no issues whatsoever. Even this issues of isha hikdalo min hashamayim, that when the brother dies and the ishto oila leyibum, this is also issues. You can't have this issues either. So that's what the Gemara says, kol shein oila leyibum, if there's no issues, she can't be materis liyavim. Ein ala l'chalitza, there's no zik at all. Ein kiddushin tofsin. A kohen gadol who marries an almana is kiddushin tofsin. He has to give a get. He's not allowed to live with the woman. If a kohen marries a grusha, or he saw marries a mamzeres, or a kohen gadol marries an almana, whoever marries a woman who's asura love, then it's the kiddushin tofsin. You got to give a get. You're not allowed to live with them. But the get is needed. If you marry an eshesish, you marry a Bito, the father gives kiddushin to his daughter, you don't have to give any get. It's simply en kiddushin tovsin. So that there is Yibam in Erison. Right, if my brother only had Erison with the girl and then the brother dies, so she's only an almana min her Erison, so then in Atur there would be Yibam, it would only be forbidden with the Rabbanan Gzer Birushan to be a Shnia. So there it's a davar pasha that the chalitza is for sure needed min haTorah, because she's oila liyibum min haTorah. But the Gemara says, Katani, the Gemara Yavama says, on the Afchav, the Mishnah says, the Kohen Gadol, the living brother is a Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to do yibum, whether she's an almana min ha'erisin, or almana min hanisuin. So frek the Gemara, but an almana min hanisuin is an essay v'lois essay. So ain't essay decha lois essay v'yessay. So she's ain't oila liyibum min haTorah. So why does she need chalitza? So the Gemara says it's an exception to the rule. So some, the Meiri there quotes some Rishonim say it's only mid the Rabbanan. Men Atar you don't even need chalitza. It's only mid the Rabbanan because she's ain oyle liyibum. And the generally accepted opinion is not like that Meiri. It's usually assumed no. In that case you need chalitza men Atarah. Why? But what happened to the rule? Because Kiddushin would have been Chal. So the Zika is a form of Ishus, and Kiddushin not Topsim. A Kohen Gadol with an Almana, Kiddushin not Topsim. You need a get. So here there is Zika. If it's an Erva, the way in Kiddushin Topsim, so you don't have any Zika at all. So that's what Abaye effect. Akasha Ella Meyato, if you are right, if you, Rabbi Yosef, are right, that the Pasuk said, you learn out from a Pasuk, that she's not allowed to marry the Yavam. If she's an Eshes Isha Zinsa, she's not allowed to marry the Yavam. So why don't you say, Kol Shein Oda Liyiva Meneh La Chalitza? Shouldn't need Chalitza either. Ela Meyata Chalitza Nami Lo Tiboi. Not only should you say, we don't allow him to do Yibum, you shouldn't even need Chalitza. Amalei, no, you can't say you don't need. Let's say, the wife was Mizana and the husband divorces her. And then he decides to remarry her. He gives the girl a ring. His former wife is Arya Mekudeshesli. But he's not allowed to live with her. She's a Saita. But the din is Kiddushan Atovsim Besota. Kiddushan Atovsim Mechayv Yelavin. It's only Arayas where it's Issa Koris that ain't Kiddushan Atovsim. But all the Chayv Yelavin Kiddushan Atovsim. Or let's say over here. Let's say the woman had an affair with someone else. The husband divorces her. And then the Bezin always writes in the Ptur, the woman is Materis Al Chalodim Chutz Min Abayel. You have to write chutz min aboyel. So if you know that there was a case like that, you have to write chutz min aboyel. So over here, she's materis to marry anybody except for the boyel. What if the boyel goes ahead and he's makadosher? The kedushin atofsin. He's not allowed to live with her. He has to give her a get. But you need a get. You don't say yen kedushin tofsin. Whenever you have an ishu hasura, the kedushin atofsin, unless it's an erva, unless it's an isakoris, like I give a ring to an eshesish. I don't have to give her a get. The Kiddushin are not Tovsin. I say Harei Mekudeshesli to my mother-in-law, to my mother, to my daughter, to my sister. These are all Chayvi Krisis. So by all Chayvi Krisis, that's Harayis, and Kiddushin Tovsin by Harayis. But if it's only Chayv Elavin, then Kiddushin are Tovsin. So that's Amalei, so Rav Yosef responds to Abaye. No, you're making a mistake. Your Kasha is not a Kasha. I established based on the Pasuk, Hachwa Hasel Ishachel, Achavel Eli Yavam, she's not allowed to marry the Yavam. But if the Yavam will marry her, the Kiddushin will be Tofsin. You can't have Zika. It's an Iser. But you can't have Ishus. Amaleisa, Rav Yosef answers, Ili Iser Lebal, if the husband would still be alive, the woman was Mizana Tachas Baila. So what's the din? So the husband is not allowed to remain with his wife. Does he have to give her a get or not? Of course he has to give her a get. It says in the Chumash, Kibotza Ba'erbaz Dover, because of Allah Sefer Krisis, even though you've established based on two Adam, Dova Dova Mimamet, you've established based on two witnesses that the woman was Mizana, still the Chumash says explicitly you have to give the woman a get. So you see that there is issues with a woman who's a Saita Labaila, there's issues. So you can't say Saita Leyovam is Mochaban and Saita Labaila. That's what Rav Yosef answers, Abayili, Isi Labal of the husband would still be alive. Milo by a get, wouldn't she require a get? The answer is absolutely yes. That's Mefurish in the Chumash, Hashtanami here too, that the husband dies, and there's an Issa, she's not allowed to do Yibum. Not allowed to do Yibum, but Kiddushin would be Tovsin. It's an Issa Lav, okay. Hashtanami Tiboy Chalitza. The only time you say Ein Oyla L'Yibum is Ein Oyla L'Chalitza if it's Ein Kiddushin Tovsin. But here it is, it's even Kiddushin Tovsin with the husband. So that's the first version of what Rav Yosef said. And Abay Tzach Gedungin, and Rav Yosef defended his position. Is the second version Amar Rav Yosef? No. How can you say that the girl has to have Yibum with the brother-in-law? Rachmana Amar V'yotza mi beisa the Chumash, again with the same pasuk. It says in the pasuk Kimotza ba ervas dover, if the woman was Mizana, she's a Soita Vada and the husband divorces her, so she can go marry anybody else. So that pasuk says V'yotza mi beisa v'halcha v'hasul yishacher. Torah says she better marry someone else. She shouldn't stay with this husband. Why? The lalisterei lebeisei. We don't want her husband to ruin his... The marriage is ruined already. The marriage is shut. It's no good because Rashi refers you to the Gemara before. The last line in the Rashi on the page refers you to the Agarata on Gimel on the base where the Gemara says if you have znusa lebeisa, if the wife is mizana, the Gemara says if the husband is mizana, it doesn't ruin the marriage. But if the wife is mizana, it ruins the marriage. They have to get divorced. She's a sait al sura baila. The Gemara says, if you have znusa the base, if the wife has mizana in the marriage, is kikari l'shumshima. It's like a worm that finds its way into poppy seeds that is going to eat up all the seeds. There won't be anything left. He'll devour everything. So whenever the wife is Mizana, it ruins the whole marriage. It's not shaykh to restore it.
Is there any concept of mechila? Husband says, I'll be baruch, and she says she'll never do it again.
No, doesn't help. Mechila helps if the husband was keen elah, he wants her altistri and mishploni, then before she has stira, he says, he went to it. The wife says, you're paranoid, you're crazy, I'm not doing anything. So he goes to a therapist, and they explain to him that he's paranoid, and he says, okay, forget it. He's mevater on the kinui before she has stira. So then if she has stira, does not, even if the stira was baveri, even if she violated yichud, but if the husband was habal shemachal al kinuyoi, kinuyi amachal, the husband can be moichal on the kinui before stira. After she already had the stira, then it's already too late.
But today, let's say there was no
kinyan
b'stira, and a woman had an affair, and then
yeah.
It's found out that she had an affair.
Yeah.
Does the husband have to give her a get?
Has to give her, yeah, it says in Chumash. It says in Chumash that, Kimatzaba erbas dover, dover means you have two edim who testify that she was mezana, then it says, because of Allah's safe increases, he has to give her a get. Without a get, you don't say, the marriage falls apart a little bit. That's what it means. It says in the Chumash, v'nitma'o. What is the expression? Why does the Chumash use such a funny expression? Vinitma. It's a strange. Vinitma usually goes on Tumah V'Tara. It has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tara over here. Behemoth Tmeya, a non kosher animal. Rhinoceros, an elephant, is called the Behemoth Tmeya. Why does it say over here Vinitma? So the Avnei Nezer has a very good tshuva, and it's a very fascinating tshuva. He quotes from the Kuzari that. The Melech HaKuzarim had it's a historical novel, the Sefer HaKuzarim, by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Melech HaKuzarim had a recurrent dream that his Kavanosh Ritzuya Avam Asech Einim Ritzuyim. You have noble intentions of being religious, but you're worshipping the wrong religion, so you should ascertain which is the correct religion. So he kept on having the same dream. He belonged to some Avodah Zarah religion. The Kuzarim were ruling Russia years ago. There was a Jewish community that was run by the Kuzarim. When the communists took over, so they destroyed all historical documents. They didn't want anybody to know that the Jews were ruling Russia before, years, centuries before. But now they keep on discovering more and more. They had it in the New York Times, I think half a year ago, no? They discovered the whole capital city of the Kuzarim, and they discovered all kinds of things about the culture, about what was going on at that time. So there was such a thing. There was the Melech HaKuzarim was an Abed Avodizar, and then he had this recurrent dream, and then we know that he converted to Judaism, and the Rabbanim in Spain used to correspond with them, to guide them, and sometimes the Rabbanim came to visit by them, and to teach them Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote this historical novel about what possibly may have happened. This is already the novel part. This is the Baba Maisa. So he says, he writes in his Kuzari that originally he was going to invite only a Christian, a representative of the Christian religion, a representative of the Muslim Islam. He wasn't going to invite a rabbi representing Judaism, because Judaism was so frowned upon, it was so downtrodden. So he thought, that's not Shaykh, that's Lo Bo B'Cheshbon. The last minute he changed his mind and invited a rabbi. So he started interviewing all the three to ask what the religion is based on. Then he decided it must be the Jewish religion. Sounds like everything is based on the Jewish religion. The Christians claim that they're carrying on the step after the Jewish religion. Muslims, everything is based on the Jewish religion. He's going to concentrate on the rabbi. So the rabbi gave him a whole presentation. So he fell in love with Judaism and he converted. And then he had the whole cabinet convert. Then he had all the balabatim convert. And then they were keeping Torah mitzvahs. So in the whole conversation, so they have back and forth. He imagines what they were talking about. So they talk about hashkafa and they talk about specific dinim. So he asks them about I read in the Bible, in your Bible it says that if a person is tamei, so he has to bring karbanas and he has to go to the mikveh and he has to do this and that. You people say that, you Orthodox people, you claim that you're following the Bible, you don't bring these karbanas, the zav and the zava and the oletis, you don't bring the karbanas, and you know, so many people are balkari, is tamei, you don't go to mikveh, you're not living up to your own Bible. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi explains, no, you have to understand that Tumah is a tied to the Sasri with Kedusha. So when you want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you want to eat Karbanas, so you want to eat Trumah, you want to eat Maaseh Sheni, these are Dvar Mekudosh, and we want to be Makriv Karbanas. The Kohen wants to be Makriv Karbanas, so if he's in the state of Tumah, so the Tumah is a contradiction to Kedusha. Baba Nesenu HaRabim Zok the Rabbi to the Melech HaKuzarim. We live so far away from Eretz Yisrael. There's no Truman, there's no Maisa Shenin, there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Karbanis. So there's nothing to discuss. So that's why we don't have to bring any of these Karbanis. And that's why we don't have to go to mikveh. So he says, but your wives do go to mikveh. He told me the married women have to go to mikveh. He said, that's a different din. Neither Labaila has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. That's a separate halach. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he quotes this premise, this hanoche of the Kuzari, that Tumah in Kedusha are tied to the Sasri. Whenever you require Kiddusha, so you cannot have it, that it should be in a state of Tumah. So he says, that's why the Chumash, now the Avnei Nezer says, that's perhaps why the Chumash uses the verb v'nitma'or to indicate that the Kiddusha of the marriage is broken. We say, when we get married, we say, Hareat Mekudeshesli. We assume that you were creating a Kiddusha in marriage. Ish v'isha, Shechina Shuri Beinayim. It's a Gemara later in Soita. When a couple gets married, there's a Hashuas HaShechina, so there's Kiddusha. The Gemara says in Kiddushin in the first Perek, Hareat Ishti, that's a Lishna Deraisa, that's in Tanakh. Hareat Arisasa, Hareat Nisuasi, Hareat Negdosi, Ezek Negdo, Hareat Ezrasi, Hareat Salosa, Yikach Tzela Mitachtov, Hareat Tachtoi, Yikach Tzela Mitachtov. All of these are biblical expressions. Hareat Mekudeshesli, the Gemara says, is a Lishna Derabbanan. That expression doesn't appear in Tanakh. For marriage, to say Hareh Mekudeshesli. So the commentaries on the Gemara point out the terminology, the expression doesn't appear in Tanakh, Hareh Mekudeshesli, but the concept is biblical, that when a couple gets married, Shechina Shuri Beinayim, there is an Indian of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives. Ish v'ish is Shechina Shuri Beinayim. So Kozman, that the marriage is Kayam, there's Kedusha. When the wife is Mezaneh, so this breaks the marriage partially. They still need a get. You don't say the whole marriage is paka legamre. You still need a get from the husband, but she's no longer materis labaila. In a normal marriage, the woman has a heta labaila and isa lashuk. Here, the marriage only has one half. It has the isa lakuli alma, but it doesn't have the heta labaila. So he said, Avnei Nezer said, that's why the Chumash says, vinitmo. Vinitmo means whenever you have tumah, it's a tata de sasi with kedusha. So it means the marriage is partially broken. That's what Rashi writes over here like that. Rashi on the next daf has such an expression. Here it is, about 20 lines from the top, where you have the Bach and the Avavim and Aleph, opposite the line Aleph in the Bach, where the Bach has Aleph. So the line next to that in Rashi, he writes, "Veniskalkulu achshav hanisuin le'osar Aleph." He says, Niskalkalu Hanisuin, the Ishus is partially broken. The Ishus is partially broken. There is a drasha in the Sifrei on the Pasuk when it says that an Ishus Isha Zinsa is Chayv Misa. So the Sifrei says, even if the woman already was Mezaneh and she's Asur al Baila, so one might have thought there's an incomplete Ishus. So maybe if there's an incomplete issue, maybe she's no longer Chayv Misa, she's Mezaneh a second time. Let's say the first time she was Mezaneh, there was no Hasura. So we don't give her the death penalty. But she still becomes Hasura al-Baila. So maybe now if she's Mezaneh a second time with Hasura, maybe since the issue was Niskalkalo, so there's only a Chotzi Shir of an issue, so it's an incomplete issue. It's only an issue that has an Issa al-Shuk, but it doesn't have a Heta al-Baila. So maybe there's no Chayv Misa. So it says, Umesu gam shnehem, the Pasuk says in Kiseitze, I think, Umesu when an Eshes Ish is Mezaneh, so it says, Umesu gam shnehem, gam is a Riboy, gam le rabbis haboy mi achareim, even if someone else is Baal Eshes Ish. The second, the Baal Shein is also Chai Misa. So Rabbi Yosef Engel explains why he needed Rasha, because I would have thought, based on this whole Gemara, that Niskalkulu Hanisuin, that the Ishus is now incomplete, so it's not enough to be Mechaiv Misa. So that's what the Gemara is bringing out now. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. Let's say again, what's the second version? Is the Amri, Amar Rav Yosef, five lines from the bottom of Hamid Beis. Second version was, the Rav Yosef said differently. It says in the Chumash, when the wife is Mezaneh, and he divorces his wife, so why does the Torah say that she's getting divorced? He doesn't want the Lalistre Lebeise. Because this woman who's being Mezaneh, the whole marriage is going to fall apart in the future. That's where Rashi quotes the last line of Rashi. Is Nusa de Beisa, Kikaya Lashum Shema. The issues can't have any kiyum. So how can? So the Gemara says, "Va'at amre tisyabim nami yabume." You have a half a minute to say that we should tell the Yavam he has to be miyabimer. What's the whole idea of yibum? Lahakim liachiv shem beYisrael. They should carry on the marriage. What carry on the marriage? The marriage is ruined already. He's going to marry her. It's not going to have a kiyum. The marriage is not going to have a kiyum. So the Torah, he can't possibly think that there's going to be any yibum over here. Amalei Abayi, according to the second version, that's still Abayi Tainis. So how do you allow her to marry anybody? He should say you shouldn't be allowed to marry anybody. You don't want the other husband to have a ruined marriage. Rav Yosef said, if the guy has brains, he wouldn't marry. A woman was mezana tachas baila, and then the husband gives her a get. So what normal person will want to marry her? Must be he himself is ashtikal bamum. He was divorced, whatever. He must have some baggage. He must have some reason why he's prepared. But we wouldn't recommend that any normal person should marry her. So Rav Yosef answers him, do we force someone to marry her? We don't demand of anyone to marry her. As a Rachmanis, whoever's going to marry her, probably not going to have such a gewaldig amount. Unless she does tshuva, okay. But we're not requiring of anybody. Mashenikin over here, when you have a yavam, you say when the husband dies, it's a mitzvah that the yavam should marry her. Rashi points out, the Mishnah says, either you do yibum or you do chalitza, but it's preferable to do yibum. The Mishnah says, mitzvahs yibum, kodemis le mitzvahs chalitza. It's preferable to do the yibum as opposed to doing the chalitza. That's a machlekes in Yevamos. The Gemara has on daf lamed tesef and base. Machlekes hatanaim, they say it's preferable to do yibum, but it's preferable to do chalitza. So the simple reading of the Chumash, the way it reads in the Chumash, it says mitzvahs yibum kodemis le mitzvahs chalitza. Preferable to perform yibum. It says, "Melayach b'tzurish lekachas asivimto." If he doesn't want to, we try to encourage him that yes. If he doesn't want to, then second best is to do chalitz. How can there be a machlokes hatanoim in the Gemara that maybe you should say mitzvahs chalitz or kedemis lemitzvahs yibum? So the Gemara explains it's only midirabbanan. Those who disagree and hold mitzvahs chalitz or kedem is preferable. It's preferable midirabbanan. Why? Because the Gemara has a machlokes abashol and the chachamim, machlokes hatanoim. When you're doing Yibum, you're really in violation of Eshesach. Eshesach, normally, if I marry my brother's wife, his grusha, his almana, it's an isakares. But if it's b'makam Yibum, then not only is it permissible, it's commendable, and it's a mitzvah, and it's obligatory. You're supposed to do it. So one tana is of the opinion, it's only if you do it lishma. If you're marrying the Yibama lishma, l'shei mitzvah, then it's permissible. If you marry Shalom Lishma, I marry her because she's good looking. If she would not been good looking, I would not marry her. So I'm not doing it l'shem mitzvah. I'm doing it l'shem noy or l'shem mamon. She's from a very wealthy family, so I wanna live in wealth. That's why I'm doing the yibum. If not for the fact that she's from a wealthy family, I would never have done the yibum. Or whatever reason, the Gemara says, whatever side reason. So if you're not doing it l'shma, so Abishol says you're not allowed to do the yibum. And if he does the Yibam Shalom Lishma, it's considered Ki'ilu Pagea Be'erva. We consider it as if the Rishonim say it's Midirabbanan. It's not Minatur. You require Lishma, and if he does it for Shalom Lishma, we consider it Midirabbanan as if he's Baal Ha'erva. So because it's hard to gauge who's going to do Lishem Shamayim, so we made a Din Midirabbanan. We don't allow anybody to do any Yibam Fartik. So we say midirabbanan, mitzvahs chalitza, kedemis le mitzvahs yibum. But on the level of the Raisa, that's what it says in the Chumash, mitzvahs yibum, kedemis le mitzvahs chalitza. So that's what Rashi adds on the top. Mitzvahs yibum, kedemis le mitzvahs chalitza. That's the top Rashi, the second line. So that's how Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef says, how can you demand of the Yavam that he should be miyabim, the Yavama, who's a Saita? We require of the man to get into a miserable marriage like this. She was a soita by the first husband. The Chumash says, let her go marry someone else. He doesn't want her. The husband doesn't want to live with this wife. She's terrible. She ruined the marriage. So how can you require of anyone else that he should marry her? I, Abai, had a taina. How do you allow her to marry anybody else? So he says, we permit her to, but we don't recommend it. Yibum, you're requiring of the man that he has to marry her. So you can't require. We wouldn't recommend it. We certainly wouldn't require it. She wants to marry someone else. It's at his own risk. You run the risk of having a miserable marriage. Maybe she'll do tshuva and it'll be a wonderful marriage. Okay.
Rabbi, going back to what we were talking before about, where there's a law then it would only be the first Bila would be Mutter, and after that it would not be. What is that based on?
The mitzvah of Yibum is fulfilled when you do the Bia Rishayna. But then the din is, once you do the Bia Rishayna, they're married, that is the issues. So then once they're married, you don't say the Yisra Eshesach comes back again. Since Bia Rishayna was het to gomer to live with this woman, so he's allowed to live with her the rest of the time also. But if in addition to the issue of Eshesach, there's also an issue of Mamzeres, or a Grusha Lekoyen, or an Almana Lekoyen Godel, or whatever, and then it's based on Esed Deichaloises, he says Esed Deichaloises is only Deichah by the Bia Rishayna. It's not going to be Deichah by the Bia Shnia. The Isser of Eshesach can't be, the Heter for the Isser Eshesach can't be based on Esed Deichaloises, because it's a Loises Sheish Bekoris. So it must be that it's Hutra, it's not Dechuya, it's not that it's Deichah. So whenever you have a marriage that in the beginning of the marriage it was het to gomer, and later on there's cause to declare that the marriage should be also. Take for example, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, but he is allowed to marry an almana. So let's say a kohen married an almana, they're living for many years together, then the kohen gadol dies, and they're looking for a candidate to appoint as the kohen gadol. So they want to appoint him. So once they make him kohen gadol, he has to divorce his wife who is an almana. How can a kohen gadol be married to an almana? So the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in the middle of Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph. The Mishnah says it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Well, Vishtari, since in the beginning of the marriage it was absolutely het to gomer, something popped up later, namely he became a kohen gadol. So he became a kohen gadol, still his wife is Muteris Eilov. So it really should have been like that over here also. Let's say a man is married to a woman, het to gomer, they're married for years, and then the wife is Mizana. So you really should have said, whenever there's issues, hol v'ishtari yishtari. Since it was had to gum at the beginning of the marriage, she should remain with teres l'baila. So how can you ever have the whole institution of saita asur al baila? So the answer is, it says v'nitma, means that the issues is niskalkala. The issues is broken. The issues is not as strong as it used to be. You only have a half an issues. Issues usually has two parts to it. Iser akuli almana het to l'baila. Het to l'baila, not only because they're married. Het to l'baila, even if something comes up, even if he becomes a kohen gadol, she's still materis lebaila. But over here, that's exactly the void. The issues is niskalkala, so there's no longer a heta lebaila. That part of the issues is broken. The part of the issues that brings heta lebaila is gone. And then on the top line, on Vav and Menal, the Gemara says, V'ikad diyamin, there's a third version. They're not sure. The Talmud Bavli was written a few generations later. It was composed by Rabbi Rabashi. So at the time they were ready to write the Talmud Bavli, there were three versions of what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef was generations before. Whatever Rav Yosef said, they knew that Abaye took it. So according to all three versions, so now's the third version. It says, if the wife was Mizanik, he divorces her. Then it says, she marries a different style husband, who's obviously very different from the first husband. Akasav kro acher, what does it mean? She'enem ben zuga shel harishon, not the same style as the first husband. Why not? She'zed, the first husband, hotzi rishon mebeso. First husband divorced her because she was mezana, and the second guy marries her. V'zeh, hichnes rishon letach beso. So the Chumash says that one who marries a woman who had an affair in marriage is a strange. He must have some background. He must have some baggage. Why did he want? Is this different kind of a person? So, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to say that the Torah the same as before. It does make sense that the Torah should require that the surviving brother has to marry this woman. The Torah doesn't recommend that anybody should marry this woman. How can you say the Torah requires that the brother should marry the woman? So they had a tradition that Abai disagreed. Each version of Rabbi Yosef, Abai, we know Abai, Omalai Abai, so according to this version, Abai was a student of Rabbi Yosef, he disagreed. Elamayato, so yes, the Kasha. Let's say a woman was Mazana Tachas Baila, the husband divorced her, and then she married a different husband, and that husband died. So are we going to say, how can the Torah require of his brother that he has to marry her? He was a strange bird. The second husband who married her did a stupid thing. So the Torah now requires that the brother, the surviving brother of the second husband has to marry her. So that's why Abai asked, according to your logic, Ela Mayata, if that logic is correct, what if Nisus La Acher, what if the husband divorced his wife because she was Mizana, Saita Vade? She married a different person, he dies, B'libanim, Should I say they're also lo tisyabim, that the Torah doesn't require that she should have yibum because akos of kro acher, because the Torah says he's a strange bird, the second husband, a strange guy, and the Torah can't require that the yavam should do yibum. So why not say the yavam, the surviving brother of the second husband, also shouldn't have to do yibum? And for the Gemara, Rav Yosef defends his argument. He says no, the first husband that she was mezana tachtov, she had a bad record with that husband. So it doesn't make sense to say the Torah requires, if he dies, Torah requires that his brother should be miyabim. How can the Torah require should be miyabim? It's a terrible shidduch. But when the husband, the first husband, divorces, she married the second husband, okay. Well, there's no problem with the second husband. So maybe she did tshuva. Everything was good by the second husband. So then we can require and demand of the brother of the second husband, he must have yibum. That's what the Gemara answers. Gabi dehaimiyah b'shem tov avikaima. She had a good reputation by the second husband. She had a bad reputation. She didn't have a shem tov by the first husband. But by the second husband, she had a good reputation. Gabi dehai, by the vis-a-vis the second husband, b'shem tov avikaima. She had a good reputation.
But he always had the option of doing chalitza. So I don't understand the give and take in the Gemara. No one ever forces anyone to do yibum.
No, we prefer. That's what Rashi called it. Mitzvah yibum kodemus lemitzvah chalitza. We prefer that the yavim should perform chalitza. Bizmanazeh we no longer paskan like that. Bizmanazeh we paskan like Abishol. That mitzvah chalitza kodemus lemitzvah yibum. We don't allow anyone to perform yibum because we're afraid that they're going to be doing it shaloi lishma. That's the Gemara in Yevamos has at a different stages. In the history of the Tanoim, the Psak reversed. We always follow the consensus, the majority opinion. So there was a period of time that the majority disagreed with Abishol. The Roiva Tanoim held that you don't need Lishmo by Yibum, and Mitzvah Yibum is always Kadamis and Mitzvah Chalitza. Nothing changed.
If they weren't wrong for each other, one is much older.
If there's a major age gap, then we recommend they should not.
So there's a major personality conflict here. Why would the Gemara assume that there has to be...
No, if the Yavam refuses to, so he's not going to do it, says
he. Has that option. If
he has the option, but...
She was an adulteress before, and he's not for him, so...
Second time.
But if he doesn't see anything wrong with it, then we would require of him. We would say, L'chatchila, it's a mitzvah, it's even kodemus, L'mitzvah chalitza, if he doesn't feel bad about it.
But then there's no kash in the Gemara. If he doesn't feel bad about it, so what?
No, so the Gemara asks, but we should tell him, we should recommend he should not do it. The din is that we do recommend he should. If you don't feel bad about it, we recommend you should perform yibum. Gemara says, why? But she's a strange bird. This girl is a strange woman. Whoever's going to marry her is called the Ishacher, a strange guy. Not like the first. My first husband was normal. He divorced her. Second husband is abnormal that he married such a girl. So how can we require that the yavam of the second husband should have to do yibum? So Gemara says, why not? She had a good reputation. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want. The Torah always says he has a right to do chalitza. For many years there was a machlekes. We discussed it. Many years there was a machlekes where the psak was reversed the second time. The Gemara says in different kufis in the times of the Tanoim, the psak changed back and forth. So the Rabbi Natam claims that the final psak from the Tkuvah Satanayim was like Abishol, that you have to do Yibum Lishma, and if you don't do Lishma, it's a chashash of Kilo Pageh Be'erava, it's considered by the Rabban as if you're violating Eshesach, and therefore we always recommend, we're afraid people are not going to do Lishma, so we always recommend to do Chalitza, we don't permit anybody to do Yibum. And the Svardim, the psak by the Svardim always was not so. They hold that it was reversed, in the end reversed, and you are allowed to do Yibum. So this was an ongoing debate for many generations until Hakamas HaMedina. So 1948, when they established the Medina, so they felt they have to have one unified position of the Rabbanut. When you're going to have the Sephardim, are going to do Yibum. Ashkenazim are not going to do Yibum. Everything's going to be different. So they all made a big Heskeim. All the Sephardish Rabbanim at that time, they all signed Heskeim that no one's going to have, no one's going to allow any Yibum. Everybody should insist on Chalitz. So this was going for quite a few years until Rav Avad Yosef was not yet the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. He was still wherever he was, in Egypt, I don't know where he was, in Arab countries. So he published the tshuva. What do you mean they made a heskeim? They had no right to agree to such a thing. If the Svardesh Pesach is that it's a mitzvah to do yibum, so you got to do the yibum? So he wrote before he was chief rabbi.
Wasn't the Chayim of Eniona already
chal? The Chayim of Eniona, not to have two wives. The Cher Rabbeinu Geshem doesn't apply b'makam yibum.
No.
Let's say Cher Rabbeinu Geshem is only if the guy's married.
Right.
Let's say the surviving brother is single.
Right.
So we still don't allow him to do yibum. And even if he's married, we tell him, let's say by the Ashkenazim, we don't allow anyone to do yibum. But when you do the chalitza, he says, lo chafatzti lekachta. What do you mean, lo chafatzti lekachta? Achem der Rabbeinu Geshem. So we tell him before he does the chalitza, if you want to, you're permitted to marry her, because the Chem Rabbeinu Geshem doesn't apply b'makam mitzvah. So he says, lo chafatzti lekachta, I don't want to. But we got to tell him in advance, he's strictly speaking, is allowed to.
What was the situation with Arachayim HaKadosh, and when was that? Didn't Arachayim HaKadosh do Yibum twice?
No. Could well be, because he was from the Svardim. The Svardim always practiced Yibum. Svardim always practiced, until 1948. They always did Yibum.
So what do they do now, after Rav Chaim Yosef came in?
After he became Chief Rabbi, I don't think he said that anymore.
Oh.
That was before, when he was, before he became Chief Rabbi. He was tumbling about that.
So now that is the Hesed, now the Svardim.
Yeah, no one does any. Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom also, not to marry two wives, the Rishonim all had a tradition. The Chaim was only Atzei for Elif. So Atzei for Elif means till the year 5000. What, now it's 5,771. So the Chaim was over 771 years ago. The Chaim was over. I remember around 50 years ago, the Jewish newspapers, like the Jewish Week didn't exist yet then, that all the secular Jewish newspapers at that time, so they made a mistake. They thought the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom was made, instituted for 1,000 years. So they wrote in the papers, the Cherem is soon going to be up. And the Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s. It says the Cherem was up already centuries earlier. Cherem was up. The Rabbeinu Geshem didn't know what's going to be in the future. He doesn't know what's in store in the future. So he made a Cherem for a short period of time. I'd say for Aleph, this Cherem. The Cherem not to divorce your wife, Bal Korcho. The Cherem not to read someone else's mail. You had 24 Haramim that they quote in Yeridei and Hilchas Cherem. Hilchas Nidui v'Cherem. So the other Haramim apply the Yom Avoy. But this Cherem, not to marry more than one wife, he couldn't foresee what's going to be in the distant future. He only made the Cherem till the year 5000. So then the Ashkenazim accepted it even after. So the Zman Hazeh, let's say, a man will marry two wives, he's not automatically in Cherem. The Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom is over. It's a meaning that we don't allow him, so the Bezin should force him to divorce the second wife, to get rid of one of the wives, preferably the second wife he should get rid of. If he doesn't want to, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, we have a right to put him in Cherem, to pressure him not to violate the minik. But strictly speaking, the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom is over already. Even according to the Ashkenazim, it's over. We have accepted it as a minik. I remember once there was a wedding, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik attended a wedding. So there was a certain prominent rabbi who remarried with the Hetta Meir Rabbanim. So Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik felt the Hetta Meir Rabbanim was not valid, and he wouldn't participate under the chuppah with that rabbi. He said, he's in Cherem. I can't walk near him. So that was a little bit of an exaggeration, because in Shulchan Aruch it says the Cherem is no longer there. The Cherem was over in the year 5,771 years ago. We have a right to put him in Cherem, to pressure him to divorce his wife. No. Who's pressuring? Who's divorcing?
The Hetter Meir Rabbanim was part of Rabbeinu Gershom's institution.
Right. He said the husband is not allowed to marry more than one wife unless you'll have 100 Rabbanim from 3 different Medinas will agree that in this instance it makes sense to permit him to marry another wife. So let's say his first wife was institutionalized. She's not all there. So you have the common practices. You have 3 Rabbanim interviewed, the husband and the wife and the doctors and the insane asylum and so on. And they ascertain whether is it really such a bitter rachmanis on the husband that he doesn't have a wife, and does it look like it's irreversible. So then if they think that there's cause to permit the husband to remarry, and he can't give a get to the wife because she's not all there. She doesn't know what's going on. So then they'll send out letters to different people, different Rabbanim from different Medinas. So if you have 100 Rabbanim from 3 different Medinas, maskim, because people from different Medinas have different perspectives on life. that people in the northeastern part of America think one way, that people in Florida have a different outlook on life, that people in Chicago look at everything differently. So if you have Gimel, if you have Megimel Medinas, Megimel Medinas, and then Meir Rabbanim, Megimel Medinas, and then you matter the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. This Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. The other Cherem, not to give a get Bal Korcha, that is no het to Meir Rabbanim. This Cherem, not to marry two wives, you matter.
What if the wife is mentally perfectly normal, but she had some accident where she can't have children, and the husband has not been
That's a question whether it's right to divorce. In the days of the Tanaim, if the wife is unable to have children, then it says in the Mishnah, he has a right to divorce. And today, it's already many years that we don't divorce our wives when they're not able to have children. You ask her, you try to speak to her without hurting her feelings to see if she'll agree.
But what about doing a heder Meir Rabbanim?
If Meir Rabbanim will, if 100 Rabbanim will think that it's a good cause, probably won't get any, won't get the 3 Rabbanim to agree. You won't get anyone to agree to that. Why? Today we don't divorce our wives if they can't have children.
What father of Aaron in that situation? What type of situation was that?
Because the het Meir Rabbanim was against someone in his family. That's why it bothered him. It didn't bother me. I was at the wedding. It didn't bother me because the Shulchan Aruch says the Cherem is not applicable today. The Cherem was over 700 years ago. So an Alta Maisa, it's over. No.
So there's a Gemara, the last daf in Cheskes Habatim.
So the last daf in Cheskes Habatim, the Gemara talks that after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, so there was an idea that we shouldn't have any children. We're just having more children that the Nazis, the anti-Semites, should have more Jews to kill. Maybe we shouldn't have any children at all. So Taisa says, what do you mean not to have any children? It's a pasuk in the Chumash, Pru Revu. So Taisa says, no, we shouldn't have big families. We should only have a son and a daughter and call it quits. And other Rishonim say, no. They were discussing to make a gzera. We shouldn't have any children. So then they said, no, that's it's a gzera shein reivatzi biyuchelan lamba. How can you tell a man he shouldn't get married? He shouldn't get married, shouldn't have any children. That doesn't make any sense. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the accepted opinion, that they really would have made such a gzera. No one should get married. No one should have any children. But you can't tell people who's a man wants to marry a woman. It's normal. A boy wants to marry a girl. So... But if a couple is married and can't have any children, he wants to divorce his wife because he can't have children, so more correct is maybe not to have children today. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, we're no longer kaifan piriviriviya. In the days of the Gemara, if there'd be a guy who wouldn't be married by a certain age, they would read a mashiach and they would force him and say, you must marry this girl whether you like it or not, and have children with her. And today we're not kaifan piriviriviya, and if a man's wife can't have any children, he doesn't divorce his wife. We don't divorce our wives just because they can't have children.
Rabbi Shechti, I want to ask you, if a man that has two wives is going to create a shortage of nashim?
I don't know, interesting. In the days of the Vilna Goen, they write that there was a singles problem. I never heard of this. It's written in the Svarim. There were a lot of single, maybe there was one single girl, I don't know, in Vilna. There was a problem with single girls, so the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, he thinks we should be meikel, we should be mater, the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, to solve the singles problem. A boy should marry more than one girl, so the girls won't remain single, and they'll all be able to have children, so the Jewish community will multiply. That's what he said.
The problem is otherwise, Rabbi. Huh? The problem is otherwise today, they can't find good boys.
Yeah. So if you have one good boy, let him marry 5 girls. So all the girls will be married. They'll all have children. I don't know.
Hey, if the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom was already really bottled, so it's only Alt Minig,
So, I mean, then this hetamei rabbanim is really to privati somebody who's under the cherem, but now there's no longer really the cherem.
The
so
minig
you really
is
still need the so it's, that's part of the minig also.
The minig is to carry over everything, yeah. To carry over everything from the days of the cherem. So if a man wants to marry a second wife, so you have to have a hetamei rabbanim, yeah. Someone told me that he used to live in Cincinnati, where Ablezer Shilva lived, in Cincinnati. So there was one balabas whose wife, a couple, was married for many years, and his wife was already senile, so she was institutionalized. And he didn't go to get a hetamei rabbanim. He went to a different state, he met an elderly woman, and he married the woman, and he came back to Cincinnati. So Ablezer Shilva wouldn't allow him to get any aliyas in shul, because cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. When the balabas died, he was an older person when he died, so he instructed the Chevra Kadisha that they should take him in a convertible hearse, and they put a slab of stone on top of the coffin, because the Gemara says Mishan Meiz Biniduyo, if a person was put in Cherem and he dies, Bezon Soklim as Harono. What do you mean Bezon Soklim? They throw stones? The Gemara says, no, you don't put stones Kigala Shalochan like Ochan. In the beginning of Yeshua, they put a big pile of stones on his kever, not Kigala Shalochan, put one slab of stone to demonstrate that the man deserved to get skilo. So Ablezer Silva treated it as if it's Mamish in Cherem. The din is Mishan Meiz Biniduy. If a person died in the state of Cherem, Bez Nesokim is Aron. So he instructed, that's what this Balabas told me, he remembered, he instructed they should take, the man was a wealthy businessman, so he instructed them they should take the coffin in a convertible hearse, open up the rooftop, and they should put this big slab of stone on top and drive it through the business section of the city that all of the businessmen should see that we're treating them in as one who is Meis Beniduyo. I was very surprised when he told me over the story, because in Shulchan Aruch says the cherem is no longer applicable. The cherem was over in the year 5000. Today we observe it mitam minik. Okay? But not Bezen Sokom is Aro, not Kedei Kach. Very surprised. I think they have in the biographies of the Bali HaMusar that Rabitzel Petterburger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, was a rabbi in St. Petersburg for a while, and they gave him a very good salary. He didn't accomplish too much there. It was a secular city, but he was there for quite a while. So he was married to a woman that she couldn't have any children, and he wanted to divorce her and marry someone else, but he felt heartbroken. How can he ask his wife, how can he request of his wife that he wants to divorce her? So he never brought it up until she once brought it up. She said, maybe you would want to divorce me and marry someone else. So he said, now that you mention it, I would like to. And he used to be paid a tremendous salary, so he put a lot of money in a bank account for her to take care of her for the rest of her life. And then he married someone else. I don't know, the end of the story, I don't know if he ever had any children from the second wife. But that's what they write. He felt that it wasn't right to divorce his wife. Many do them like that. Amnas Nadler also, he only had a daughter. He didn't have a son and a daughter. He never fulfilled Pirivrivi. He said, we don't divorce our wives because of the issue of Pirivrivi. And Shulchan Aruch says like that because they wanted to make the Gzeira at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, that we shouldn't get married and we shouldn't have any children. And the only reason why they didn't make the Gzeira, because it's simply Ein Rav Atzi B'chadam Lambaba, the people wouldn't be able to observe such a din. So once you're married and the wife can't have children, so you leave it like that.
Married,
they'd
be destroying
Am Yisrael.
Nobody procreates. It's gone. It has nothing with
Xavier
even.
Doesn't even make sense. Yeah. A pella doesn't even make sense. I don't know. So they were in such a state of depression, like after the war, after the Second World War, the Jews were in such a state of depression.
Not to have children. A lot of the survivors did not want to have children.
They didn't want to have children. But I think the highest birth rate in the Jewish community in the whole wide world was in the DP camps. I think so. Those who did want to have children, so they had a high birth rate than the Jews in the free part of the world. But many didn't want to have children. They were so depressed. Yeah. So these were the three versions. We're trying to understand the din in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a din that if the woman was a Saita, where the Saita, the Mishnah is talking about Saita Safik, and the din is the same by Saita Vadai. So if the woman is a Saita and the husband died, so she's not allowed to have Yibum with the surviving brother, but she does have to have Chalitza. So Rav Yosef gave one source, whatever it was, A, B, or C, three versions, and Abaye raised a question, and Rabbi Yosef defended his position. And Rava was a contemporary of Abai. He gives a different suggestion. Rava Amar, Rava says, we have a Kal V'Chomer that we shouldn't permit the woman to have Yibum. What's the Kal V'Chomer? The woman was married with her husband Beheter. And because she was Mizanish, it became Asur Al Baila. The husband's brother is an Isur Eshesach. It's an Isur Eshesach. You have a Heter, Eshesach B'Mokka Mitzvah. If the brother dies, he leaves no children, then there's a Heter and a Mitzvah, Mi Yibum, Eshesach B'Mokka Mitzvah is Mutter. So Rabbi says, it's a Kal V'Chomer. Im Nesra B'Mutter Lo, if the woman was married Beheter to her husband all these years, and when she becomes a Saita, she becomes Asur Al Baila. So B'Asur Lo, to the brother-in-law, that it starts off with an Isser, like Hoshkein, for sure the Isser should apply. Amalei Abaye, Abaye argues, just like Abaye was dinging zich with Rav Yosef's svaras, Abaye was a Talmud of Yosef, he was a chaver of Rav, so he argues with Rav. Amalei Abaye, Abaye tainu zela miyatov, you are right, what's the din in the following case? Kain gadol shekidesh eso almona, umeis, the kain gadol is mekadesh en almona, which he shouldn't have done. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, and he dies. V'yesh lach kohen hedyot, and he has a surviving brother who's a plain kohen. So the woman is an almona twice over. She was almona from the first husband. Then the Kohen Gadol married her, and he dropped dead. So she's twice tzvei mal almona. So, and this the Kohen Gadol died, and his brother is nishken Kohen Gadol. So based on your Kal V'Chomer, it should come out, if she wasn't allowed to live with her husband, so for sure she's not allowed to live with the Yavam, because if B'Mutter Lo Nesra, B'Asur Lo Koshkin, so you should say, Lo Tisyabim, it should come out that she's not allowed to have Yibum. Why? Im Nesra B'Mutter Lo, if she's not allowed to live with her own husband, B'Asur Lo Koshkin, Kal V'Chomer, she shouldn't be allowed to live with the brother-in-law. And for the Gemara, it wasn't Mutter. The whole Kal V'Chomer only applies if the beginning of the marriage she was mutter to the husband, and then it became Nesra. So that's what Rabbi answers. Nesra? What do you mean? Kal V'Chomer doesn't apply. Nesra, Hasir V'Kaima. She was Asura before the Kohen Gadol married her. She was an Almana before he married her. That's not B'Mutala Nesra. And Mutala. What do you say? The brother-in-law is Mutala. What was the Kal V'Chomer again? B'mutala Nesra, b'asalala Koshken. So the Gemara says, it wasn't mutala, asalahu. Kohen Gadol was not allowed to marry an almana from day number one, he did wrong. The whole Kal V'Chomer doesn't apply in that case. Rabbi's Kal V'Chomer doesn't apply. Ella, Abaye says, no, I'll reword it. I still have a kasha, I'll reword it. I'll give you a different case. What's a din? Eishes, a woman is married to a kohen. So if Eishes Ish is Mizane Tachas Baila, then it's an Isur of Saita. That's a Saita Asura Baila. If the Eshes Ish is Nensa, she's raped by someone else, so then she's Muteris to remain with her husband. Because the Pasuk says, in the Parsha of Saita, V'hilon is Pasa, only if she was not Nensa. If she was Nensa, she's Muteris Labaila. Except if the husband is a Kain. If a woman is married to a Kain and then she was Nensa, so she's Asura Labaila, the Kain has to divorce her. So that's what Abai asks. I'll reword my question. What's the din? Eishes kain she nensa. So the husband has to divorce her. He didn't have a chance to divorce her. Umeis. And he dies. So the woman is a zayna. Eishes ish nensa is a zayna. A zayna is asura to kohanim. Asura to all kohanim. But what if this kain who just died, the eishlo ach cholo. He has a brother who is a cholo. A chalal is if a kohen marries a grusha, so all the children are chalalim. So what's the din of chalalim? So if the kohen marries a grusha and he has a daughter, so the daughter is a chalala. So the daughter can marry anybody she wants, but she can't marry a kohen. A kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha zayna b'chalala. Kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala. And if he has sons, if the kohen marries a grusha, he has sons. So the sons are chalalim. This a chalal can marry anybody he wants. He can marry a. He can marry a zayin, he can go to the cemetery, he can't duchen, he can't do pidyon abenis. Cholo means empty. Cholo means empty back, emptied out from Kedushas Kohanim. He doesn't have a din of kohen, not lahakol, not lahachmi. He doesn't have any din of kohanim at all. The cholo is allowed to marry anybody he wants. He can marry a Yisraelis, a Levi, a Kohenis. A kohen is not allowed to marry a cholo, but a kohenis is permitted to marry a cholo. A kohen chol can marry anybody he wants, and he doesn't have any of the laws, none of the rights and privileges, nor any of the restrictions of a kohen. He just simply doesn't have a din of a kohen at all. So that's what Abai was asking Akasha. What would be the din? A kohen married a woman, it was mutala, everything was beheta, the marriage was wonderful. Then after years of marriage, the woman was nensa, so the husband has to divorce. He didn't have a chance to divorce her, and he dies a mace. So it was b'mutala nesra. The wife and the husband were mutter to each other for so many years. She became nesra because of zayna l'kayin. The kayin dies, and he has a brother who's a chalol. How could it be that he's a kayin, he's a chalol? They had the same father, but they had a different mother. This one's mother was a grusha, his mother was not a grusha. They have the same father.
Remarried the same woman, the
same woman, okay. Married the same, the same mother.
Same
mother, okay. So the children from the second marriage will be chalolim because she was a grusha. So Abai asks, according to the wording of the Kal Vachomer that Rabbi said, if mutar la nesra basa la kolshkein, so in this case it should come out leitis yabim. I should say she's not allowed to have yibum, and the din is ridiculous. The din is she does have yibum. It's a Mishnah in Yevamos like that. I ought to say, Nesra b'mutala, basalala kol shekein, I should apply Rabbi's kavachaymer. So Rabbi answers, no, what are you talking about? The Kayan's brother, who's a cholol is nishken Kayan. A zayna is muteris le Yisrael. Het the gomer. Well, what is it to discuss? Het the gomer. There's nothing to discuss. Honest, we saw Mishra Shari. We got the high like Yisura. If the surviving brother is a cholol, so the kavachaymer doesn't apply. So what exactly is the Kal Vachomer? That's what Tosis raises a question over here. Here, the last four lines in the Tosis, Eishes Kohen. Tosis says to Kasha, Abu Yesh L'tmoya, what about the following case? A couple was married, Beheta, they were living together, and then the husband became a Petzua Daka. So he's no longer allowed to live with his wife, and then he dies. So it's B'muta Lo Nesra, B'muta Lo Nesra. They were married together, Behetu, for so many years, and all of a sudden she became Asur al Baila. So you should say, now she's not allowed to have Yibum. She's not allowed to have Yibum with the other brother, even though the other brother is Nishken Tzuadak. So Taisa asked that Kash. So the Taisa in the other Mesichta, it says on the side, Yishav al Zeh Kosra Taisa Bivam is Peidal. The Teretz is the following. We already said it from before. I remember when we were learning Yivam is Daf Yud Aleph. This Kal Vachem appears in Yivam, but Mutal al Nesu, Basal al Koshkin in another case. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik got stuck on the Gemara and he gave up at the end of the shiur. He gave a shiur for 2.5 hours and so gave up in the end. I think it was a Thursday. He used to give shiur Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He gave up and he said, it was like he was exhausted. And he said, if anybody has a suggestion, please. So everyone was giving suggestions. So I gave a suggestion. I gave a pshat. So he says, Shechter, let's not philosophize. He did like my pshat. Then he came in the next week, so he said over my pshat. So remember, Rabbi Yossi Blau was there, he didn't like it. He was dinging himself and said, no, the Rav said, that's the pshat. I think that's the pasha pshat. The din is that a full ishus, when a couple has a full ishus, has two parts to it. Has a heta labaila and has an isra kuli alma. That's why when you have zika, when the husband dies and the woman is kukuli yavam, there are two parts to the zika. The part that has a heta labaila leads to the yibum, that they're permitted and obligated to perform yibum. And even when you're not going to do yibum, the part that makes the yisra kuliyama requires that you need a chalitza, as the two parts. When a woman becomes a saita, we say v'nitma, sheniskal kaloha ishus. That's what it means, v'nitma. The ishus the husband had with his wife becomes paguma. The ishus only has half an ishus. It's only an ishus of yisra kuliyama. It doesn't have a heta labayla. So the Zika can't have a heta liyavam either. The heta liyavam of the Zika is a carryover from the heta labayla of the husband. That's what it means. B'muta l'nes b'asal el-koshkin. When the husband becomes a b'tzua daka, he's not allowed to live with the wife, but the ishus doesn't become the skalkala. The ishus is a perfect ishus, has a heta labayla, but the baal happens to be a b'tzua daka, so he's not allowed to live with the wife. It's a zaita geisa. The only time you have that the ishus is peguma is over here v'nitma, by a saita. It's poigim the issues. So that's why the Kal Vachomer only applies by Saita. Okay. In Shiras Hayam at Oz Yoshir, we say every day in the Sukkah de Zimra, Zekeli v'anvehu, elekeyovi v'aremimenu. What it means that Kele Vianvehu? So the Gemara has different levels of interpretation. It's a difficult word, Vianvehu. Zekele Vianvehu. So the Targum Onkelos translates Miloshen Nove. Nove means a home. Zekele, this is my God, Vianvehu. I will build a Beis HaMikdash. I will build a home for the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's one level of interpretation. Pshutu Shal Mikra. Then the Gemara has an additional level, an additional two levels of interpretation that are not Lefi Pshuto. There's already Midrashim. So another pshat is the word vianvehu is a combination of two words, va'anivahu, that man was created b'tzelem elikim and Yisrael abodim lamokim, so we are commanded v'halachta b'drochav, to preserve the midas of elikus that are within us. So we say vianvehu anivahu mahu chanun afani chanun, I will go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to preserve the tzelem elikim and the madrega abodim lamokim that I have. That's a Gemara Masech HaShabbos. Vianvehu means anivahu. Then the Gemara has a third, another level of interpretation, not lefi pshuto, v'anveh meloshen noye mitzvah. This is my God, and I will beautify him. What do I mean, beautify him? When you like tefillin, when you have a talis, when you have svarim, they should be pretty, sefer Torah, and pretty tefillin. So it's a mitzvah of noye hider mitzvah, noye mitzvah. See, a lot of people who are very much into learning, they think, what do you mean? Sakosha mezuzah, what, it has to look pretty? What are you wasting your money on a pretty esrig? A kosher esrig, shine. A kosher chalitza shoe. What does it have to be so pretty for? As long as it's kosher, that's all that counts. That's, you read in Bereshis, the two brothers brought karbonas, so Cain and Hevel brought. So the Pasha Peshat in the Parsha is that it was Cain's idea. It says in the Pasuk that Cain decided to bring a carbon. Then it says, "Behevel hevi gamhu." He also, oh, nice idea. He's going to go along. So Cain was the one who originally had the idea, but the Medrash says he brought min hagarua. He brought garbage because he thought it's only the idea. I'm giving a gift to God. What does it have to be pretty? I'm going to burn it on the mizbeach. What's the difference whether it's beautiful, delicious, or awful looking? The idea is what counts. And the Rabbanu Shlom didn't accept this carbon. Hevel gamhi. He brought min amufcher. It wasn't his original idea, it was Cain's original idea at that time. The Sfarno, the other Mepharshim say, but his was more oizgehalten. The Medrash says that the mitzvahs are shluchim shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shluchim shal Adam Kemoisai. The mitzvahs represent the Rabbanu Shalom. So if we're mechabed the mitzvahs by doing hida mitzvah, it's considered as if we're mechabed the Rabbanu Shalom. It is important. A lot of people are very much into learning. Don't see the need for beauty. Beauty is a secular concept. A woman wants to have a nice fancy dress. A man has to wear a fancy suit. Who needs fancy schmancy yeshiva guys? They have sloppy shoes and sloppy pants. Everything is sloppy. So the tefillin is sloppy. The talis is sloppy. That's not right. They shouldn't have sloppy clothes. But even if they do, in Islam, do I want to have sloppy shoes and sloppy clothes? But they shouldn't have sloppy mitzvahs. That's what the Medrash says. The mitzvahs represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shluchim shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's on the pasuk that Yehuda shalach lefanav goyshna. The verb used in the Chumash is that Yankel Avinu sent Yehuda as a shaliach. So the Sefer Haredim quotes that Medrash Rabba on that pasuk, Bereshit is Rabba, that Yehuda shalach lefanav goyshna. Just like Yehuda was a shliach of Yankel Avinu, so the mitzvahs are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an interesting expression. Shluchim shal adam kemoisai. So if we mechabed the mitzvahs by doing hida mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we were mechabed him. You have to be medaktik on hida mitzvah. Yeah.
I heard once somebody was asking with Sfira, it's in for Memta Shari Tumah, to Memta Shari Kedusha, it's 98.